You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, June 24th. 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's Casual Friday, folks. I'm exhausted, and I'm feeling extremely casual. Cliff Schecter not with us this week. He's taking vacation. He has a vacation. Yours truly, never, no, never, not possible. Did a show last week, all week. Traveled on the road, did multiple shows. I did Hartman's show as well. Then Netroots Nation, then recording Ring of Fire at Netroots Nation. I continue to work. I do not stop, ladies and gentlemen. Cliff Schecter, on the other hand, he's taking vacation. And Chris Rosen... This is stunning. I don't even know how to respond to this. We will get to the news, folks. There's a bunch of stories. Essentially, getting screwed. But I'll get into the details in a second. But it's Chris Rosen sends me an email this morning. I'm sorry. I just found out I have to cover a press conference.
Ooh.
Wow. Senior editor of MovieLine.com covering a press conference. Is it about... I know there's two resolutions... I know there's two resolutions that are going to come up in the House today about Libya. One of them... Well, one of the resolutions is going to be... Or I guess actually bills. Is going to be a defunding... basically going to defund all the airstrikes and any other combat that would allow the U.S. to continue supporting NATO in this Libyan intervention, which I got to say is, you know, it's quite clearly gone beyond the mandate at this point. I don't even know how one can justify at this point. And there has been no, we are well past the 60-day period for the War Powers Act. This Congress hasn't even validated this yet. The other vote that's supposedly going to take place today in the House is going to actually provide congressional authorization for, I guess, 1 year. So we'll see what happens. I wonder if Rosen is attending... let me get back to this email. If he's attending a press conference in that regard, oh, it could be about this blockbuster story about Johnson in Wisconsin. We'll get to that, but it turns out, who knew this this corporatist crony was a corporatist crony? Who could have known? Maybe that's what the press conference is about. Okay, maybe it could be over the debt deal and how we're getting screwed. I'll get into the details of that. In just a moment, maybe the pot bill. Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to pull up this email again. I'm sorry. I just found out I have to cover a press conference for the movie Horrible Bosses. What possible news? Like, what happens at a press conference for Horrible Bosses? Was it weird being in a movie? Like, how bad? How, like, are you saying all bosses are horrible or just the ones in your movie? I don't wonder what the questions are at this ridiculous so-called press conference. So, no Chris Rosen today. So I pinged Michael Ian Black. Michael Ian Black will be providing us our movie reviews today. Michael Ian Black, of course, from the Comedy Central's Mike and Mike show. Where do you know Michael Ian Black from?
I know him from that and Best Week Ever.
Best Week Ever? Did he host that?
He was one of the regular commentators.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
Who's that, Paul Tompkins' show?
I'm not sure.
Right. And, of course, he was on that show. Ed, I mean, he's done so many things, it's unbelievable. He likes to work. I don't quite...
Yes, that's Paul Tompkins' show.
Right. Okay. All right, I was just curious to try and get you. Did you Wet Hot American Summer? Did you see that movie?
Mm-hmm. I've not.
That's good.
Yeah, you saw that? Okay. All right. I'm just curious. All right, so, you know, Wally Pipp. I mean, Chris Rosen, how hard? I guess it would be pretty hard to find a guy, you know, get a guy on the show who actually goes to the press conferences for horrible losses. So, Ron Johnson, big corporatist who was supposedly self-financing his election against, and I say supposedly because it's going to be quite clear that it was really more he appeared to self-finance his election against former Senator Russ Feingold. And full disclosure, I made an ad. It wasn't commissioned or paid for by Russ Feingold. But I had I was having lunch one day with Sarah Silverman. She was in town. And I had my iPhone. And I was pissed because it looked like Russ Feingold was going to lose. And I was like, do you want to make an ad for Russ Feingold? She was like, okay. So we shot the ad on my iPhone. We actually had the waitress shoot our two-shot. And you can find that, right? We have that on, it's on our website.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. So,
well, it's on the YouTube.
It's on the YouTube. We can put it on the website. Seeing as we still don't have a link from our website to the YouTube account.
Yeah. No, we do.
We do?
I'm pretty positive.
I don't think so. Maybe we do. I don't think so. Anyways, so Ron Johnson spent about $9 million of his own money. That's a lot of cheese, folks. $9 million of his own money to win this Senate seat in Wisconsin. And then, I mean, what a stroke of luck. His plastics company paid him $10 million in deferred compensation just before he was sworn in as Wisconsin's junior senator. And it's just coming out in his latest financial disclosure. Now, this is just hilarious. So, this writer from the Milwaukee Journal, not exactly sure what his name is. Daniel Bice is interviewing him. And he asks him, how did your plastics company, Packer, oh, that's probably, yeah, came up with a figure so closely to the amount that you actually spent in the campaign? Because in Wisconsin, corporations are not allowed to give money to political campaigns directly, nor are they allowed to reimburse political campaigns for elections. And so this is what Johnson says. You take a look in terms of what would be a reasonable compensation package, okay? It's a private business. I've complied with all disclosure laws. I don't have to explain it any further to someone like you, meaning the press. And Mike McCabe, the head of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, said it looks like a scheme to get around a centrally old law barring corporate donations to candidates. It's a clever scheme, but it still looks like a scheme to get around the law.
Ooh!
Really? Do you think? Do you think it is? Can you imagine? Johnson emphasized that he had not taken a salary from the plastics manufacturing company since he bought it in 1997. And you say, oh, my, he hasn't made any money? He was doing this for 14 years or whatever it was, 13 years? He never, ever got paid a dime? Well, no. He didn't draw a salary, which means that he wasn't paid as an employee, which means that he and his company didn't have to pay the 12-13% worth of Social Security taxes on this. He didn't have to pay any, income taxes on this because he didn't get any salary. However, he still had an income of $1.3 million and $2.3 million annually from 2005 to 2008 from capital gains, corporate earnings, and real estate. So in other words, what you do is, if it's his corporation, he gives himself a shareholder dividend. He doesn't take a salary, he just takes a shareholder dividend. In the first half of 2010, he received $650,000 in what he called pass-through income from a limited liability company that owned Pacul. So I guess Pacul is set up as a corporation, and then he has formed a limited liability company which owns a part of Pacul. And my guess is he's been getting shareholder dividends all along. So when he says, I didn't take a salary for 14 years, what he's really saying is, hey, I managed to pay half the tax rate I would have, if not more, actually, because it would have been 28% maybe as an income tax. He only pays 15% on capital gains, and he doesn't pay any payroll tax. Unlike most deferred package deals, however, it appears that the company, Pacul, had not set aside a specific amount annually that would pay it out when he left the firm. In other words, you know, with real companies and real deals to have deferred payment, they say, for every year you work here, we're going to pay you $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, $10 million, whatever it is. But they actually have a formula on how to determine it. So it doesn't look like you're just drawing this money based upon what you want. Instead, Johnson said the $10 million payment was an agreed-upon amount that was determined at the end of his tenure with the company. Huh. And asked, with whom did you agree upon with this amount? Are you ready? Quote, that would be me, he said.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hee hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodaloo.
Ho, ho, lay, hoodlay, ho, 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 lay, hoodlay, ho.
That is just fantastic. Now, you know, I understand this dynamic. You know, this show is owned by a corporation, which I am the sole shareholder of. I actually pay myself a salary. I was actually going to store up all the money, run for Congress, and then just whatever I could take out of it, I will take. Like, what am I down after running for Congress? I have no idea what could be suspicious or cynical about this, Johnson said before cutting short the interview. This was fully disclosed in terms of what I reported. I mean, this guy's so deluded. Federal Election Commission spokesman Christian Helen said the situation is a new one on him, too. Now, obviously, federal law, I don't think, has jurisdiction here, but they interviewed him just to find out. Helen said that he couldn't discuss the Johnson matter in particular. All he could say was it would be illegal for a corporation to donate directly to a candidate or for it to give money to a candidate for the express purpose of reimbursing the individual for campaign loans or contributions. I think Senator Johnson is going to have a tough time explaining this one. Enjoy, Senator Johnson. Meanwhile, talk about double dealing. So now we have a situation. Y'all know this debt deal is, we're getting down to the wire now. It's not quite clear on when, although the latest date I heard was like in August, but, and there seems to be a lot of question as to whether or not President Obama could just continue to spend. The Constitution, I think, makes it quite clear that the United States must meet its debt obligations. And if the only way they can do it is by borrowing money, then you do it. Constitution trumps any type of legislation that says that you need congressional approval to raise the debt ceiling. He could get a ruling from the Office of Legal Counsel quite easily. I mean, the Constitution's quite clear on it, that he can just continue to borrow money. Or there are some other shenanigans where certain things would get paid, certain things wouldn't if the debt isn't raised, the debt ceiling isn't raised. There is widespread, at least, agreement, maybe not solid agreement, that this could be catastrophic for not just the American economy, but the world economy. You know, because remember, the reason why ostensibly, the reason why there is such concern over the deficit and the debt is for fear that bondholders and potential bondholders, essentially potential borrowers to the country, will be worried that we cannot pay our debts and we will default. And so the way the Republicans are leveraging that is by threatening default. Anybody see a problem of logic here? Now, aside from that, everyone knows the Republicans will raise the debt ceiling. Because if they don't, their taskmasters in the corporate world will pull the plug on them. So with all that knowledge, and despite that knowledge, you have Joe Biden sitting down with John Boehner and Eric Cantor and John Kyle and the Republicans, and almost immediately, like all the Democrats, agreeing to trillions of dollars worth of cuts over the next 10 years. And then said, hey, and then now that we've given you that, we would like to raise some revenue as well with some increased taxes. The Republicans say, no way. No way. Eric Cantor takes his pacifier and goes home. And apparently it's being reported today that John Boehner didn't even know that Eric Cantor was going to take his pacifier home and go away. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's the spin that's being put on it. In the past, we've talked about how I'm convinced there has been a big battle. There's other people who want that Speaker of the House job in the Republican Party. That's how you get stuff like reporting on Boehner's drinking, and how you get stuff like reports on Boehner's philandering. Now, I can't speak as to whether or not they're true or not. I'm sure it's perfectly normal for a grown man to break out in tears all the time and slur his words in occasions, particularly after lunch. I'm sure it has nothing to do with alcohol. And certainly, if I was a lobbyist and somebody asked me, are you having an affair with the Speaker of the House? Of course I would say no comment. Of course I would. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know that the only reason why people know about that is because there were Republicans gunning for him. So the idea is they want to leave Boehner holding the bag for tax increases. John Kyle, also, same plan. He's left. He's taken his pacifier. He's gone home. But the dirty little secret is they know they don't need to be there. Because what's going to happen now is Max Baucus, remember how Max Baucus said, hey, Medicare is off the table. Well, now what they're doing is Max Baucus has come out yesterday and said that if there's going to be Medicare cuts, we want tax revenues increased. You see that little game? Before it was, if we're going to have $2 trillion in cuts in discretionary spending, we want an increase in tax revenues. And Medicare is off the table. Has now shifted to, okay, we've given you the $2 trillion in tax cuts, but if you cut Medicare, we want increase in taxes. And they're trying to say, well, there's going to provide the Medicare cuts are only going to be to providers, which basically means they're going to pay hospitals less, which means that Medicare is going to be harder to administer, which means they're going to have to make cuts in Medicare. It's fairly simple. You can't take money out of the system. You can't not pay people and then not have cuts happen. So they have now once again shifted into this other mode. And you ready? This is the third act, I guess, right? The third act is we've given away the $2 trillion. We're going to get those tax raises, and we're going to offer cuts in Medicare to get it. And for the denouement, for the final act, here is my prediction. Do you know where these tax revenues are going to come from? The tax revenues are going to come from the repatriation of foreign profits. We've been talking about this, how there's been a massive lobbying effort on behalf of major corporations to bring money they've been hiding offshore back into this country, not at 35%, but at 5%. It's $1 trillion. They did this back in 2004. It was a disaster. It was for the Keep America Working Job Act, whatever the bullshit name they had at the time. It's all going to work out all right. No, we're not really just giving money to our corporate crony friends act of 2004, which did the exact same thing. Repatriated hundreds of billions of dollars back into this country, ostensibly for job creation. There are multiple reports on the effectiveness of that. Roy Clemens and Michael Kinney for Tax Analysts. A total of 364 companies brought back $284 billion overseas cash for the 2004 tax holiday. The fresh cash did not create new jobs or investments. Instead, companies simply used the cash to enrich their shareholders using the money to buy up their own stock, driving share prices higher. In other words, they blew up the bubble a little bit more. A 2009 paper by three researchers at the National Bureau of Economic Research. Same conclusion. A $1 increase in repatriations was associated with an increase of almost $1 in payout to shareholders. Many of these companies ended up cutting employees, not creating jobs. The notion that you give these people tax cuts and they're going to create jobs with it is fantastical. Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found that the 10 biggest players in the Win America Coalition, that's the coalition that is fighting for this repatriation, right, to create jobs. We don't have any cash in the States. That's why if you let us bring back this money, we're going to use that cash to create jobs. They are sitting on a combined $47 billion in cash. In cash. Just the 10 of the biggest players in that Win America coalition. Because you can't call your coalition Fuck America, because then people won't sign up for it. But Win America. So here is the final act of the debt deal. You ready? They're going to announce cuts in Medicare, but only to the providers. Don't worry. All we're doing is just making sure that we're going to take Medicare off the table for the 2012 elections. We're not. We're just cutting enough to make it to neutralize it as a campaign issue, even though everyone from the Democrats to the Republicans to pollsters to everyone knows George Allen spent 9 minutes in an interview the other day completely trying to avoid the question, would you vote for Paul Ryan's Medicare bill? I think he ended up saying, if I become a senator, I will vote yes or no on it. And so the final act of this debt screwing, this debt deal, will be the announcing of cuts in Medicare, but we're also raising revenue. How are we raising revenue? Can anybody tell me what 5% of $1 trillion is? Anybody? Anybody have a calculator, a computer? Anybody want to make an attempt at it?
I'm doing it.
I'm trying to remember how many zeros are in a trillion.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
The amount of, you know, I don't really have that much money to play with.
My calculator doesn't go that high.
Well, I'm going to guess it's probably 500 million, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right? I mean, I think it's 500 million. Then we got new taxes. I mean, it's just it's just stunning what's going on. It's just stunning.
5% of 1 trillion is 50 billion.
Oh, 50 billion.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Sorry. That's 10 times more than what I said. 50 billion. There you go. Jay Chavon just sent it to me. Sorry, thank you. $50 billion. We offset the cuts with tax increases. I just know that's what it's going to be. I'm just convinced of it. And maybe they'll also end up saying, and we're going to take that $50 billion and we're going to have an infrastructure program. I mean, you can just see these disparate stories just sort of coming together and congealing. Right? Obama said he wants more of an infrastructure thing. These corporations say they want this tax holiday. Geithner said we're only going to do that tax holiday if we can get a, I mean, he said this months ago, Geithner. We'd do that tax holiday if we could use it for infrastructure spending. Baucus coming out. We would only cut Medicare, even though we had said we were taking it up today. We only cut Medicare if we get a some type of revenue increase. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we do the show, is because you can see, or I should say, it is extremely difficult to see how these people follow an agenda. And they do it 3, 6, 18 months out. Sometimes Republicans do it 30 years out. Democrats don't seem to have that long range of view. The corporatists seem to have a better notion of how to play this game. So, I don't know. I guess we'll know in a month. But that's my guess. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Michael Ian Black with some movie suggestions. But still to come on this program, Lulzsec. One emailer emails me and says, hey, these guys aren't such a big deal. They can't seem to do much. Then the next day, they have broken into Arizona law enforcement because of immigration laws. Ron Paul, Barney Frank team up to legalize marijuana. And I'll ask Michael Ian Black about this, the premiere of Courage, New Hampshire, a Tea Party TV show. And later in the program, if we get to it, meet the friendly Fracasaurus. That's right. A pro-fracking coloring book for kids. If I don't, well, I'm not going to. We will be back in just a moment. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. As I mentioned earlier, Chris Rosen, the editor of MovieLine.com, who usually comes on and gives us movie reviews, although he's really on the bubble, basically because his movie reviews suck, and he's just not good at it. He is covering a press conference, if you can imagine, for the movie Horrible Bosses. And so it is my genuine pleasure to welcome to this program Michael Ian Black.
Hi, Sam.
Here we go. Oh, you have some fans here. Michael, oh, there we go.
Really Michael. Rapturous applause.
Yes.
And I thank you for that.
No, there's a lot of folks here very, very excited that you're joining us. Thank you very much.
I mean, it just sounded like a stadium full of people.
No, I have a very large studio audience that I'm able to immediately control with just simply a wave of the hand.
Well, that is the mark of a great broadcaster. Just the ability to just sway the audience however you want them to go. It's a talent that you have, and it's why I'm so happy to be a part of the Majority Report.
Wow! Well, I just signaled for that, actually. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. So now I know, I thought of you, might be a good person to help us out with this because this segment is designed because I am not allowed, by my wife or my child to leave my home to go to do anything that involves anything that might be entertainment on my part. So I'm not allowed to see a movie in the theater. I can only watch it on Netflix or maybe on demand Amazon through my Roku.
Right.
And so I know that you also have a horrible family that prevents you from having fun.
I do have a horrible family. I have a wife and two horrible children. But they don't necessarily prevent me from having fun. But I do watch a lot of movies on Netflix.
Oh, well, you see, you're lucky. You've somehow worked it out. Like, I don't know how you do that.
Well, what I did was I found out that you can order OxyContin from India, and they deliver it right to your house.
And then you feed that to your family.
No, I take it.
Oh, I see.
And that allows me to have fun, despite the fact that I live in bourgeois suburban circumstances.
Oh, I understand. Well, I mean, I haven't quite figured out that there's a lot more sensitivity to doing like, you know, radio and ordering OxyContin. I'm sure you understand.
Right. I do understand.
That's a lot more loaded of an issue. So you do watch movies on Netflix.
I do indeed, and I just saw a great one that I would like to recommend to you.
Oh, this is exciting.
It is a 2009 release. Now, one of the nice things about Netflix, as you know, or a lot of these video streaming services, is they've got films that you wouldn't necessarily know about or see in your local multiplex. And Netflix in particular has just a plethora of obscure films.
Do you do this
nothing,
on a regular basis?
This isn't
the first time you've ever done this, is it?
Well, you have to understand something. I am a very good public speaker. I can construct a sentence. I can combine that sentence with other sentences to form a paragraph, and then I can combine paragraphs to give you my opinion on a subject. You asked me to recommend a movie. I'm going to recommend a movie.
You can either
make fun of my verbal prowess, or you can just enjoy the fact that I have a movie to recommend to you, Sam Cedar.
I'm not asking. You shouldn't be so defensive. I'm actually. It's very rare that we have anybody who comes on this program in any capacity, never mind our movie review, that actually seems to really know what they're talking about and speak with some form of authority.
I am a broadcast professional. I have been canceled off more television shows than most people have even seen.
You
understand?
You have been. I mean, I haven't been to your IMDb page since probably, I don't know, 4:30 in the morning, one week ago when I was drunk, like wondering like where I am on the scale of everybody. But if I could remember what I saw, I would imagine the thing is like literally like you have to hit more like 5 times. You have done so many projects, it's unbelievable.
I've done a lot of projects, and almost all of them would be considered commercial failures.
That's not
just
true.
Like the movie I would like to recommend to you.
All right. Well, I love the way you brought this around, but I don't think that's true.
It's not. I am unnecessarily self-deprecating.
Right. No, I understand. Okay. I'm not even going to go into it. I mean, we all know the ones that were big hits, don't we?
You'd be hard pressed to name any that were big hits.
Ed. That was pretty
moderate.
Big. It was like
it's moderate.
It was a big. It was a fairly big.
Show is what we call them.
Show. Yes. Show. That was a big show. I was thinking of another one. I'm sure there was another one. I mean, listen, I from where I sit, they're big hits.
Right.
Because
right.
They actually got on TV. I mean,
right.
Most of the stuff I do, I act out in my living room. And
right.
I get people to pay, but not, you know, you can only get like 2 or 3 people into the living room. I mean, I live in an apartment in New York.
Right. But, you know. We do what we can. It's the long tail theory, Sam. You've got a long tail of people who love you and support you, and I include myself on that tail.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to give you money. I'm not going to subscribe to your podcast. But I support you from afar.
Well, no, I appreciate that. But all right, so let's circle this back now. 2009 release, and it's available on Netflix.
Available on Netflix for live streaming, which is how
Let me ask you this. Do you ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
I tried Battlestar Galactica and wanted desperately to love it. Felt like I would love it. Sam, I didn't love it.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow, this is an ongoing sort of debate here on this program. Wow, because I'm actually going through it for the second time. My wife and I we have 2 more episodes left.
You love it that much?
Yeah, I've got, you know, yeah.
I really thought I would.
How many episodes did you watch?
I got maybe halfway through the first season.
Wow. You really didn't like it.
I didn't dislike it, but it did not meet the level of my expectations. It's possible that I had heard so many amazing
right.
things about it before I checked it out that it couldn't possibly live up to it.
That's possible.
And with the TV series, you got to buckle in.
Yes, no, that's
right. Because this thing was on for like 5 years.
Right. Yes, it was great. I've watched it. It's 74 episodes. I've watched them all.
I couldn't commit.
All
I
right.
couldn't commit.
So with that said, let's hear what your recommendation is.
This is a 2009 release. It's a British release. Now, I have a real affection for any British gangster film. And this one, I thought, was a good example of the genre. Slight twist on it, because it's got a vigilante twist to it. It stars Michael Caine,
mm-hmm.
who always is fantastic.
Right. I remember seeing him in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes. Okay. That is his one other film. He is a retired Marine and widower who decides to take the law into his own hands for reasons that I won't get into. So he's a sort of geriatric vigilante going up against a gang of local ne'er-do-wells And when I say these are ne'er-do-wells, they ne'er-do-well, these
ne'er.
Guys. Ne'er.
Ne'er.
Not a once do they do well.
Do well.
Mm-mm. No. The film is called Harry Brown.
Harry Brown. Excellent.
It's a terrific choice. Michael Caine is fantastic. First-time director named Daniel Barber. If you like people talking in those uppity British accents and waving guns around, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to give you one of these because I got to tell you, you really, I mean, it is so, it is almost like it's shocking to the system how well a movie review segment can go. But for some reason, the senior editor of MovieLine.com can't seem to come up with it. All he does every week is recommend, what is it? What's the name of that show?
Parks and Recreation.
Oh, Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
Do you like that show?
I'll be honest. I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, I never got into it. I watched one. It was just no.
I have a real prejudice against any network television show. It's very hard for me to take the leap of faith that I will enjoy any television program on a traditional broadcast network. And I know there's some good ones out there. 30 Rock is good. I don't watch it, but it's good.
I'm with you on that. I couldn't even tell you what else besides. I think we have now exhausted the number of network shows that I know that are on.
I didn't get into The Office. I didn't get into Parks and Rec. And I can't really name any others.
No.
Mike and Molly I haven't really gotten into.
I don't even know what that is. What is Mike and Molly?
That's a television show that wants us to pretend that overweight people can have happy relationships. and while I like the kind of sci-fi premise of it.
Right. Right. It's too fantastical.
I couldn't wrap my head around it. It's like that TV show that was on Kings. It's like it's another universe. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. The laws of physics didn't apply there. They don't apply here.
Do they wear special uniforms or is it just no? That sounds really way out there. You really do the special effects?
As far as I can tell, they're just wearing whatever clothes will fit them.
So
it stars the chick from Bridesmaids, who's really funny.
What's Bridesmaids? Is that a movie?
That's a film.
Oh, okay.
That's a film that you'll know about in a couple of years
when it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Of course. What series would you recommend if once we're done with Battlestar Galactica? It seems that the only thing that my wife and I can do together without fighting is watch an extended television series.
Do you have DVR capabilities?
I do have. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
okay. So here's what I've been DVRing. My wife and I, similarly, it's not that we fight, it's just that we have nothing to talk about.
Right, right.
So when nighttime comes, we sit together on the couch, not speaking, staring transfixed at television shows that we have DVR'd. The two that we've been going through lately are Game of Thrones on HBO and The Killing on AMC.
Yeah,
in
now
addition,
I heard The Killing, all I know from Twitter is that The Killing was, people were not happy with The Killing finale.
Well, without giving away too much, we don't know what happened. It was a very cliffhangery ending, which was somewhat unsatisfying. Because on a show that prides itself on its realism, which it clearly does, the ending felt a little fantastic.
All right. But Game of Thrones, I heard good.
I like Game of Thrones very much, and it you know, and it's got boobs in it, which
that spices
I like
things I up. It spices things up.
I liked the boobs in the last episode, and there's also dragons. And the dragons are so close to the boobs that you're sort of like, this is unbelievable.
To have those two things in one shot.
They really do. And so, you know, for that alone, I'd say watch it. And then, of course, I started watching the new season of Louie last night.
Yes, I did too. I thought it was
not my favorite episode of Louie.
Nope.
But it's a very he's set a very high bar for himself, and even his not best episodes are still very good.
Yeah, I thought last year half of the episodes were amazing, and then like a quarter were good, and then a quarter were, you know, hit or miss.
All right, but that's a pretty high batting average for a television show.
I don't think there's any show when his show is amazing. I think it transcends almost most things I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah, he's doing the Lord's work with that television show, and we all owe him a debt of gratitude.
That's true. All right, Mike Lee in Black, thank you so much. This has been a breath of fresh air.
Well, you're welcome.
I can't even begin to tell you. What's next for you?
Well, I've got a stand-up comedy special coming on in August. That's the next
Comedy Central?
Comedy Central. Folks, called Very Famous.
Very Famous, Mike Lee in Black. Yes. And, of course, I mean, everybody who's on Twitter has already signed up for your Twitter account.
Yeah, it's just default as soon as you sign up.
And TwitStream, right? The people sign up for TwitStream?
WitStream.
Oh, WitStream.
Wit, W-I-T, stream. It's a company that I'm involved with. That is funny Twitter.
Yeah, people should check that out. WitStream.com, I think you can, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, Michael Ian Black, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Sam.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. Got a couple more stories I want to talk about, and then... Oh, I forgot to ask him about the tea party. It's Casual Friday. We'll be right back. All right, folks, I'm going to race through a couple of these quick stories before we go to the post show. Moody's reports that political ad revenue is going to break all records in 2012. Why is this relevant? Because when you ask yourself why we don't get better telecommunications laws, why... we don't have the ability in some way to sort of limit campaign finance. Look, when you're talking about campaign finance laws, where is all that money spent? That money is spent on television commercials. And when you see massive amounts of Moody's Investment Service predicts political advertising revenues will grow 9% to 18% above the record-breaking 2010 election levels. They wouldn't even basically tell you what the actual dollar numbers are, but the National Association of Broadcasters is a huge lobby group. And how do you have any sort of independence in media when one of their greatest sources of revenue are political ads? I mean, right? Unbelievable. That's just noted, file it away. Zero Hedge reports that highlight two different things. One, we all know the story of the $6 billion that went missing in Iraq. $6 billion in shrink-wrapped bills. It's gone. What are you going to do? Yeah, how many of us have not had that thing where you run around, you pull your wallet out of your pocket, you didn't put your money in your wallet, and, you know, $1 billion falls out of your pocket. You don't notice it. You keep walking. And unless somebody says, hey, excuse me, I think you dropped that, you're out $1 billion. And you get home, and you're like, hey, I took money out of the cash machine today. Anybody, sweetie, did you find $1 billion in the living room or anything? And you're going to go ask your daughter, Mila, did you find $1 billion in a shrink wrap? Well, it turns out Al Jazeera is reporting that the Iraqi parliament speaker told Al Jazeera that the amount of Iraqi money unaccounted for by the U.S. is $18.7 billion. Simultaneously, CNBC reports that the New York Fed is refusing to tell investigators how many billions of dollars it shipped to Iraq during the early days of the invasion there. Why would that be? Why would you not tell them? Unless it turns out to be, you know, that huge heist they were talking about, the biggest heist in the history of the world, it's actually three times the size of that. And meanwhile, Courage New Hampshire, a Tea Party TV show, is, I guess, premiering, then going to DVD. I don't know. It's a piece of garbage. You should really, we're going to post it on our site, the trailer. There is some type of, there's something genetic that makes it impossible for conservatives to do good entertainment, at least when they're talking about their own self-righteousness. But kudos to them for giving us a cleaned up and revised sense of history, and also one that's tremendously lacks drama. What was that quote that woman said that is sort of like the vernacular of 2010? I can't even... I'm not talking broad strokes here. I'm talking the particulars.
Broad strokes? That you can't know the specifics of God's will.
Yes.
Only broad strokes.
God's will is like a huge network of internet providers.
It's tubes.
Excuse me, ma'am? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm projecting 200 years into the future. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, Whitey Bulger was captured. And I get some sound from, but we're not going to play the Southie reaction. We don't have time. We'll play that in the post show. But I do want to play, and we never got to this sound of the week of McCain basically starting off the week saying, the wildfires in Arizona were caused by illegal aliens. And I've been told this by the Forestry Service. And then the Forestry Service said, we never told him that. We don't even believe that. And then McCain came out and said, I never said that. I said that it's sometimes it happens, but not necessarily in this case, even though he said in this case in the first place. So the screaming majority, David Benjoya, has sent us, I don't know where Jimmy Reefer Cake went, and this was his week, Barney Frank and Ron Paul's co-sponsoring a measure to decriminalize marijuana, or at least to, I should say,
I think I know where he went.
Allow the states to decriminalize it. Bring federal law in line with states' laws. There's like 10, 12 states that use it for medical marijuana. The Fed's always threatening to shut them down. And so Barney Frank and Ron Paul trying to dial that back. In Washington State, there's a move to put on the ballot, totally decriminalize pot. So I don't know where Jimmy Reefer Cake is. Maybe he got too excited about that news. But here is the screaming majority, David Benjoya, and we're going to put a audio clip of last week's,
yes,
too, up. And as always, just go to majority.fm, hit audio clips. It'll take you to where we have
The song from last week is already up on official.fm, so I will make sure to tweet it.
People can
it
link
Facebook
through, yes. At majority.fm. All right, so let's play this screaming majority song.
You Mexicans, stop your arson and get off my seven lawns. Except for my seven gardeners, you stay on my lawns. And get back to work, rapido, vamos. Build my dang fence, shovel my compost. Say, ay, caramba, tell your egg mama. Ay, arriba, who's this Justin Bieber? When I drove drunk, who caused the wreck? Legal aliens. Who gave me that nasty lump on my neck? Legal aliens. If I'm an Al-Qaeda and weaken the NATO, behind every flood and tornado, who mix up the colors in the Grand Duke's Play-Doh? Illegal aliens. Now Mexicans are taking over everywhere, you know. I hear they're secretly trying to create a new Mexico. Sucking up our education like a bunch of egghead leeches. Missing the Georgia harvest, and I blame them for the rotten peaches. And
I, caramba,
tell your aunt mama,
I, Reba.
This guy Bieber, why my DVD won't play VHS?
Legal aliens.
Cause the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Legal aliens.
Who knocked up your little sis? The reason I always have to piss. Worst song ever by Genesis.
Legal aliens.
It's no fun being a bitter old crank.
There you go, El Senator Furioso. El Senator Furioso by the Screaming Majority. That was a great one. Very funny.
I really love that one.
And these guys are good, man. I love how they also, they make the genre of the song fit. I mean, they did this with the Scooter Walker song last week. There's a form and function. I love it. Screaming Majority, ladies and gentlemen. Do they have a website?
I don't think so. I remember I searched for it to try to link to them, and I didn't find anything.
Unbelievable.
If they do not, that is a big mistake. Get something up there.
They got to be doing other music, too, right? I mean...
Yeah.
You know what we got to do one day? I don't know where these guys are from. Maybe we'll bring them into the studio.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
It would be incredibly awkward, but maybe we could do it. All right, folks. Now it is time for the moderately famous Poe Show. Not terribly famous, but moderately famous Poe Show. You can IM me at Majority FM. You can call me, ladies and gentlemen, at 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920. That is the phone number. I will see you on the flip side.